Psalm 18, which has a somewhat extensive contextual title, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I have kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. And then let us turn to the psalm which is the subject of our present study, Psalm 77. Psalm 77, and we have considered most recently verse 13, Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee, they were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. May the Lord bless to us and grant us an understanding of Holy Scripture. Amen.
Amen.
In our previous study, we considered this expression which Asaph uses concerning God and his dealings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. And we inquired as to what this expression might mean or what it teaches us concerning the way in which God works. The sanctuary, of course, has reference to the temple or the tabernacle courts. Certain areas which were enclosed and were off limits to many of the people. In this sense, God's way is in the sanctuary, in that it is hidden from sight, it is concealed, it is outside of our knowledge or perception very often. Nevertheless, it teaches us also that God's ways are holy. As the very word sanctuary implies, it denotes that which is sanctified, that which is holy. And in the sense of God and his doings, it means that they are all without fault or flaw or error. Though we may not be able to rationalize his dealings in our own minds or to explicate them to our own satisfaction, we may rest assured of this, that they are entirely devoid of any error or flaw or pollution of sin. And likewise, as the sanctuary of the temple was the holiest part of that building, and that building the most significant place in Jerusalem, and that city the most significant place in the tribe of Judah, and that tribe the most significant amongst those of the land, and that land singularly set apart by God, so likewise God's ways are high, they are lofty, they are the most exalted. They are great, like the God who accomplishes them. Who is so great a God as our God? We further observed the psalmist to say this, "Thou art the God that doest wonders." That is to say, he did not merely look to the past for evidence of God's dealings and for his mighty workings. He recognized that God still did such works in the present tense and at the present time, and that specifically those works were done among the people, the highest and greatest of them all being this, that he with his arm redeems his people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, from amongst the people of the Jews, and likewise those who are his from the Gentile nations and the surrounding world. God redeems a people for himself, the greatest and highest and noblest of all the wonders which he has ever wrought. Asaph, then, the inspired penman, as we assume, of these words, is lifted up in these thoughts and has progressed greatly from the state in which we found him at the commencement of the psalm. Nevertheless, do not lose sight of the fact that he had passed or was passing through very great trouble. that he knew distress and difficulty. That is the circumstance in which we met Asaph at the commencement of Psalm 77. And there is nothing to suggest that those external circumstances have changed. The trouble, so far as we are told, has not gone away. Whatever it was that was vexing and oppressing his mind or his body was still the case and was still in situ. The alteration has not been in those circumstances so much as in Asaph's heart and mind. He has been caused to look upon them in a more spiritual way and to consider them with a more heavenly perspective. Having given way to doubt and dark despair and complaint and trouble in the opening part of that psalm, going so far or sinking so low as to almost blasphemous suggestions about failures on the part of God, we observe that turning point in verse 10, where he realized that the fault was not with God, that the trouble did not lie there, but it was his infirmity. And then, reflecting upon God in this more spiritual way, he has changed greatly in his outlook and in his attitude and is now praising God for his dealings. I would like, with the Lord's help, for us to consider the concluding verses of this psalm tonight, from verse 16 to the end, but to commence at verse 19, where he says, "Thy way is in the sea." Thy way is in the sea. And you will observe that these verses are full of this imagery, with a discussion of the elements of the weather, particularly associated with a storm by the ocean. "The waters saw thee, the depths were troubled, clouds poured out water, the skies sent out a sound, thine arrows went abroad, the voice of thy thunder was in the heaven, the lightnings lightened the world, the earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known." Now we should register that in Scripture, the topic of the sea, or indeed large bodies of water or inundation, are frequently associated with God's judgments. At the very commencement, we read in the book of Genesis of the account of the flood, when the entire world was subject to that global deluge as a token of God's wrath. They were his judgmental dealings. They were the punishment which he meted out upon that antediluvian society, which was so full of wickedness continually. But likewise, as we come through the record of Scripture, we see the same connection time and again. We might, for example, observe the Israelites leaving Egypt and encountering the Red Sea, which again faced them as a great obstacle, a great difficulty. It was as much an enemy ahead of them as the Egyptians were enemies behind them. It seemed an insurpassable problem or difficulty or trouble. And to a certain extent, some 40 years later, so did the River Jordan when the remnants of that company that had sojourned in the wilderness arrived at its eastern bank. It was in spate. It overflowed all its banks. It was a challenge. It was a trial. It was a difficulty. It was something which they feared. And other accounts and descriptions in the Word of God may perhaps present themselves to your minds. You remember the account of Jonah caught in that storm upon the sea, which again was understood even by the heathen mariners with him to be the judgments of a god. And Jonah was cast into it and swallowed by that fish and was in the very depths of the sea, and speaks of it there in his prophecy as being symbolic of God's judgment, as being symbolic of death. And not Jonah only, but the Lord Jesus Christ, when upon earth, spoke in precisely the same terms and spoke of the sign of the prophet Jonah and drew the parallel to himself, who in his sufferings would be 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth. It was associated with judgments, with trials, with difficulties, even with the greatest of trials, namely death itself. And Asaph the psalmist says concerning God, "Thy way is in the sea. Thy way is in the sea." God has this vital association, this connection with trials, with obstacles, with challenges, with judgments, even with death. And this is not a sentiment or a doctrine unique to Asaph. He is not speaking out of turn here, but we find many such expressions used in the Word of God, not least in that passage which we read in Psalm 18, where God is spoken of in these ways. The appearance of God, you observe, in response to the psalmist's cry, was not as we might have expected, with light and life and liberty and things of that nature. But God is described as bowing the heavens also and coming down. Darkness, you observe, not light, was under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. Here God is shown in control of these adverse elements, as they might be thought, as being the God of darkness and tempest and storm and lightning and hail and thunder. He is the God of these things. They are at his disposal. Thy way is in the sea. And I have no doubt that Asaph expressed that truth in connection with the things that he was facing, and whatever these unspoken trials and difficulties were that he was encountering at that point in his life. It was not that those circumstances had gone away. It was not that they had dramatically altered or been revoked or changed. It was the case that he acknowledged God's sovereign control over them. God's way is in the sea. Now, think what that means in practical or indeed spiritual terms. that God is sovereign over these things, that God is in control, that God is the dispenser of these difficulties, these judgments, these adversities. Think what it meant, if you will, for God's enemies. As we have before remarked, there are many allusions in these Psalms of Asaph, to Israel's exodus from Egypt and from the crossing of the Red Sea. We have had many allusions to it already in Psalm 74 particularly. And there is no doubt that those images were brought to Asaph's mind at this present time. And we should connect the verses now before us with the historical records of Exodus once again. There was the Red Sea. There was this huge body of water. There was this very real and physical symbol or demonstration of God's judgments. And think what it meant for the Egyptians. Think how matters transpired for that great cavalry which pursued after and entered into that sea. We read of it in Exodus chapter 14. We read of that army in the midst of the waters, so to speak. They are walls of water on either side. The Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's chariots, his horses and his horsemen. This is verse 23. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, and upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen, and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. Our text in Psalm 77, I believe, adds further detail and description to that same thing. That at that very time, the waters at the response of God were troubled. The depths began to move, the clouds poured out water, the skies sent out a sound. His arrows went abroad, the voice of thy thunder was in the heavens, the lightnings lightened the world, the earth trembled and shook. And for the Egyptians, it meant destruction. For that army of Pharaoh, it meant an utter overthrow. It meant their doom and their demise. The waters closed over their heads, and they were drowned. They perished in the midst of the waters. God's way is in the sea, and a fundamental feature of the sea is that man cannot survive in it. He cannot breathe underwater. He cannot dwell there. He cannot pass through the sea unaided. It will destroy him. It must overthrow him. And thus it did for the Egyptians. And we might think, well, since God is thus able to send distresses, judgments, to send forth these tokens and weapons of his wrath, and for it to destroy men and women, to be to their overthrow and destruction, then what hope is there for us? Because we are human too. We are vulnerable too. In many ways, the Israelites were just as vulnerable, just as susceptible, just as incapable of passing through the Red Sea as were the Egyptians. And perhaps to draw the parallel to the things that we face in our daily lives, we might encounter difficulties, obstacles, trials, whether physical or moral or in our bodies or in the workplace or in the circumstances of our lives, and they mount up against us, and they, it would seem that they would overwhelm us, and we are not exempted from these trials. And we think, well, God sends these things against the worldling, against unbelieving men and women, and it proves their undoing, and here am I facing very similar circumstances. What hope is there? What hope is there? My friends, our great hope is the same as that of Asaph. God's way is in the sea. God's way is in the sea. Because the fact of the matter is this, my friends, when we encounter such billows, such waves, such deep waters as this, our comfort is the same as Asaph's comfort, namely this, to know that God is in control of them, and that this is his way, and that for all the fearful nature of whatever ocean it is that we are encountering in our path, God is sovereign over it. Consider these words here in Psalm 77 and think also of these in Psalm 18. There God is described. He is at the wheel, so to speak, of great wrath. He is riding upon the storm. He is sending darkness and lightnings and thunders. He is sending tempests and floods. But notice this in verse 15 of Psalm 18. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent forth from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. And you see, there is this same juxtaposition of truth in the text before us in Psalm 77. There we read about these troubled waters, clouds pouring out waters, skies sending out thunders and lightnings, God's lightnings lightening the world, the earth trembling and shaking, thy ways in the sea, thy path in the great waters, thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. The vulnerability, the susceptibility, the weakness of God's people could not be more profoundly illustrated. They were like a flock of sheep, foolish, prone to wander, without strength, ignorant, almost like beasts for their stupidity, for their incapability, for their powerlessness. And their human leaders are also here mentioned, Moses and Aaron. But let us remember something of the nature of those men. Moses An 80-year-old wanted murderer who'd lived as an itinerant shepherd for the past 40 years, who had some impediment of speech and was not able to speak clearly. And Aaron, his brother, who lent him a certain measure of support but was prone to all kinds of weaknesses and sins and failures of his own. We have a flock of sheep and two very earthly, very human shepherds beset by all kinds of problems of their own. And this company has got to be brought through a sea and has got to be brought through an ocean. The Red Sea in the Israelites' case. But to draw the modern parallel, my friends, we are like weak lambs. We are like foolish and frightened sheep who have got to be brought through an ocean. What possible hope is there when we encounter such difficulties and distresses as we do from time to time in our lives? We are like Asaph. We are at our wit's end. We are facing a sea of trouble. We are overflowed with billows of difficulties and woes. We are like a sheep trying to pass through the sea. But God can do it, because God's way is in the sea. Because his footsteps are there. And if God is able to walk through it, if God is the God of these things, these situations and these circumstances, if they are at his control and subject to his commandment, then he can make a way possible. In Psalm 18, it is described like this: then the channels of water were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke. And the sense of those words is this: that God made a way in the sea. That God made a channel to appear. That God made a course through it to come to sight. And such a channel that the waters were removed and the foundations of the world, solid ground, was revealed at the base of the waters. And thus his little flock of sheep are brought through these seas, these oceans, by the God who can walk through those things with impunity. And everywhere he plants his foot, he displaces the waters and creates a patch upon which we may safely walk, following in his steps. And thus the least of his people, the weakest of his sheep, the most cowardly of his lambs, is able to pass through the deepest and most tempestuous of seas. Asaph felt himself in a sea of trouble. He felt himself literally overwhelmed, that was his own word back in verse 3, by torrents and billows of difficulty and adversity. But the point at which he arrives at the end of this psalm, the truth to which he comes, is this: God's way is in the sea. He does not need to fear these things. He does not need to be alarmed by the lightning, by the tempest, by the thunderings, by the waters, because God is sovereign over them all. And God is able to make a passage through for him, Asaph, for you and I, to walk through in safety, such that his people, like a flock, are led through the very midst of the sea. We, as the Lord's people, do not look for trouble. We do not desire difficulties or adversities. But equally, my friends, let us not be afraid of them. When the Lord brings us through such a pathway, let us not stand trembling on the brink, afraid to face them, ready to flee in the opposite direction or go back to Egypt. Let us remember that sometimes God's way is in the sea, and it is required that we walk through those very waters in his footsteps. Because it is when we are brought to such times as those, and when we are caused to pass through such circumstances as these, that we have a nearer and more blessed experience of God and his wonder-working power. If the psalmist David had never been brought into those troubles which he encountered and described in Psalm 18, if he had never been cast, as it were, into those waters of trial, he would have never known what it was for God to send from above and take him and draw him out of those many waters. Had Asaph not been through whatever particular distress prompted the 77th Psalm, he would have never come to that point of saying, God's way is in the sea. And I found him there. If Daniel had never been thrown into the lion's den, he would not have known the presence of the angel of the Lord to shut the lion's mouths. Had his three companions never been cast into the fiery furnace, they would not have had that encounter with one like unto the Son of Man, like unto the Son of God. The psalmist in Psalm 107 says, they that do business in great waters see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depth, their soul is melted because of trouble, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end. They cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. You see, my friends, unless we go down to the sea, unless we are caused to do business in those deep waters from time to time in our lives, we will not see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. If it did not please the Lord on occasions in our Christian pathway to command and raise up a stormy wind, and observe that it comes at his command, and lift up the waves thereof, and cause us to be like these mariners tossed upon a stormy sea, at our wit's end, we would not see the wonder of being delivered from those things. We would not have the joy, the gladness of being brought through those very waters unto our desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Because God's way is in the sea. Because sometimes his footsteps lead in the direction of deep waters and are not known, cannot be seen in these clouds and waves of trouble. It is because God's way is there that he is able to lead his people like a flock through the very midst of them. May we be blessed to learn this same glorious truth as Asaph was taught, for God's glory. Amen.
Amen.
I should like to change our concluding hymn to number 802. Number 802, which reads in its second verse in language very appropriate to our subject, pertaining to God's providences and his preserving of us in the midst of them. What mighty troubles hast thou shown thy feeble, tempted followers here? We have through fire and water gone, but saw thee on the floods appear, but felt thee present in the flame, and shouted our deliverer's name. The hymn number 802.
Jesus, to thee our hearts we lift.
grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us all. Amen.
Amen.